helpful. Good afternoon and welcome to the first meeting of the Education Finance Committee. I did not bring treats or candy. I figure we'll let the first term members do that when they introduce bills throughout the session. So first thing starting off, I'd like our committee pages to please come up to the testifying table and introduce themselves. Yeah, that's you. Go ahead, go down to the mic and sit down. So please tell us your name, where you're from, and if you could be an animal, what animal you would be, and more importantly, why.
My name's Megan Butte. I'm from Forest Lake, originally from the Chisago Lakes area. And this is actually my third time paging for this committee, so I'm really excited to be back. And if I could be an animal, I think I'd be a golden retriever, because I could sit at home all day and sit on the couch and just be petted to death.
Oh, nice.
And I would love it.
That's a great answer. Good. Okay, well, thanks. And then where is...
Karen went to make coffee.
Oh, she went to make coffee. Okay, so well, quick, everybody hide.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Next, what I'd like to do is have the staff introduce themselves, beginning on my left, which is a joke in and of itself. But go ahead, Ms. Peichel.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rebecca Peichel. I'll be the committee LA for this committee, and I'm from Fairfax, Minnesota, which is down by New Ulm. And if I could be any animal, and I was just thinking about this, so I would be a horse. I rode and showed horses when I was young, and they're just the most beautiful animals. So.
Mr. Solem?
My name is Aaron Solem. I'm the committee administrator. Do I have to answer the animal question? I'm not going to answer that.
Well, good to see the staff are on task right away. This is fantastic. So, and tell us about yourself.
I'm a recent graduate of Notre Dame Law School. I'm originally from both Phoenix and Duluth, kind of dual citizenship there as a child, so I'm happy to be back in the cold.
Ms. Johnson?
Good afternoon. My name is Abigail Johnson. I am the GOP researcher on staff, newbie to the group, very, very excited to be here. I am a recent graduate of William Mitchell College of Law. I live up in Minor Lakes with my husband and am originally an Iowa native. Please don't hold that against me.
Ms. Patrick?
I'm Shannon Patrick. I'm the DFL research analyst, and I live in St. Paul. I've worked for the House Caucus for 12 years in a variety of positions.
Mr. Crow?
My name is Greg Crow. I'm the fiscal analyst for the committee. This is my 18th session at the House.
Mr. Strom?
I'm Tim Strom from House Research. I'm happy to be back again this year. This is my 28th session.
Great. 28th. And everyone should know that Mr. Strom, this is a true story, he has groupies. He absolutely does. I was at the Red Wing committee hearing, and I was sitting there talking with Tim, and someone came up and said, "So you're Tim Strom. I'm such a fan of yours. I love your work." And he's blushing like he is right now. So it was great. So, okay, at this point, we'll just have the, if we could have the committee members go ahead and introduce themselves, talk about your background, and if you feel comfortable, lay out some of the priorities you'd like to see the Education Committee address this session. And we'll start on my right with Representative Woodard.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm Kelby Woodard, and I represent District 25B, which is Northfield down to Belle Plaine. My background is I'm a small businessman who formed a company 6 years ago that's then formed into three different companies. So my background really is in the business area. However, I do have four kids who have been in many different kinds of schools and many different areas. So from a parent's perspective, have a lot of experience with education. So looking forward to some very unique approaches to education and listening to some of the ideas that really need to be aired about ways we address education. So.
Representative Breinert?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kathy Breinert. I represent the Mankato area. I'm coming into my third term as a legislator, and my background is K-12 education. I served for 12 years on the school board in Mankato and have been very active as a citizen in public education issues for about 25 years. I'm very interested in assessment issues, issues around measurement, and really looking forward to discussions on creative ways for to approach teacher evaluation and supporting our teachers and higher and the tools they need for the higher performance challenges of the future. So I'll look forward to the work of this committee.
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Keith Downey, I represent District 41A in Edina. This is my second term in the legislature, and I had the privilege of serving on the K-12 Policy Committee in my first session, which was a great experience, and I appreciated Chair Mariani's leadership of our committee and the focus on data, and I think the general sense of prioritizing education in Minnesota and in the legislature and trying to find things that actually really do work. I thought we had a good spirit of collaboration on the committee last time, and I appreciate that and look forward to it here as well. I grew up the son of a teacher, was raised by a bunch of teachers and their families, so I have a soft spot in my heart for the teaching community and local schools, and I think local control all the way down to site-based governance is a focus of mine, finding a path to reform that doesn't fundamentally compromise the public school charter, but gets us to where we want to go in terms of achievement and things would be also on the list along with local control. So I'm looking forward to the committee and your leadership, Mr. Chair.
Representative Myra.
Thank you, Chair Garofalo. My name is Pam Myra. I'm from House District 40A, which is northern, central, western Burnsville and the northeastern corner of Savage. I'm a certified public accountant. I worked formerly as a manager at KPMG. It's an international public accounting firm. I set my career aside to have a family, and then after talking to public school teachers and assessing, I decided to home educate my three children. I home educated them from preschool to college. I did not participate in PSEO, but taught all those high school courses myself. They are all three highest honor students at Northwestern College in St. Paul. I am passionate about education. I graduated from the Burnsville High School, which is in my house district. I'm very much looking forward to meaningful evaluation of both teachers and programs. Thank you.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize for walking in a couple minutes late for my last meeting.
Please note that in the minutes.
I promise it won't be a habit. I'm Jennifer Loon from Eden Prairie. My district is 42B, so it's all within the city of Eden Prairie. I feel very fortunate. I have one school district and one city council, so it's fairly compact. I'm just starting my second term. I was on Education Policy Committee last term, and very pleased to continue working on education issues. I come to education issues strictly as a mom and a parent volunteer, a very active one in my district. I spent some time at home when my kids were little and became what my husband terms the professional volunteer. And so I was a PTO president for one of my kids' elementary schools, became chair of the parent staff curriculum advisory committee, and just very interested in looking at issues, everything from testing and what is a good measurement of student success and how that translates into college and higher education readiness, teacher compensation and performance assessment, and the funding issue continues and the formulas continue to be an ongoing discussion in my district. So that's something I'd like to see us look at as well.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm John Ward from District 12A, which is up in Crow Wing County, Brainerd, Baxter, Cross-Barrington, Nisswa, what many of you refer to as God's country. I know that. We'd love to have you up there. I'm going into my third term. I represent, as I said, Crow Wing County, and in Crow Wing County there is two school districts, the Brainerd School District and the Crosby-Arrington School District. I come to this committee with 34 years of experience of teaching and coaching. Just had a wonderful teaching and coaching career, and look forward to working with all the committee members to do what we can do to move our educational opportunities forward for all the students in the state of Minnesota. Funding, as Representative Loon talked about, as well as other opportunities that all of our students deserve in the state of Minnesota, no matter where they live. So I'm very excited to be on this committee again for both policy and finance, and look forward to working with everyone.
And nothing else at all? There's not an issue that is really important to your district regarding education starting at a certain time? Or
Mr. Chair, thank you for bringing that up. As long as you, I've been told that you won't entertain any pre-Labor Day start bills, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Well,
that is an issue with my district. Very, very important. You're right, Mr. Chair.
Representative Ward, it's the will of the committee, not the chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul Anderson. This is my second term at the legislature, second time also on the Finance Committee, enjoy serving on it, and amazed at the complexity of education funding and financing. So it's a challenge. I think in my district, by the way, I'm 13A, my district, kind of the area between St. Cloud and Alexandria, a real strong agricultural area. And in my district, I think there's 8 or 9 school districts. Only one of them is growing. The rest are stable or declining. So that's a real issue out in my area. And I think all schools and all entities dependent upon state funding are a bit on pins and needles as we approach this session. And what I'm hearing from schools is no matter what you do, whether you cut us or hold us flat funding, do it sooner rather than later so we kind of know what's facing us. If they can get their funding earlier in the session, if that's at all possible, that's one thing I'm hearing from people out in my area. So a lot of work to do. Glad to be on the committee and want to work with all of you. Thanks.
And Representative Dietrich, we kind of skipped by us. So I'll bounce back to you if that's okay.
Oh, sure. What are you asking for in our introductions?
Your name, where you're from, a little bit about your background, and then the issues that you care about regarding education. If you could be an animal, what animal would you be and why?
You didn't get to do that.
No.
You're so funny. You're so funny. I'm Denise Dietrich, and I am the state representative for District 47A, which includes all of Champlin and a portion of Coon Rapids. For Champlin and Coon Rapids, the whole city is in the Anoka-Hennepin School District. And so for those of you that don't know, the Anoka-Hennepin School District is the largest in the state. And we have experienced severe budget cuts in the last couple of years, like everybody else. And it is, I think, $25 million in the past 2 years, and we've laid off quite a few teachers, and the way we see the education finance landscape is that it is obviously not going to get any better. So my district, at least, is questioning this committee and the state is, what do we plan on doing about that? Our school districts are in a state of crisis, I would say, and they are really looking for some state leadership. When we look more closely at the Anoka-Hennepin School District, we educate 5% of the pupils in the state. We receive less than the average funding in the metro area and about statewide about the average funding. And so we are to provide metro services and yet have less funding to do it with, and so it makes for a very difficult situation. We have some other challenges within our district. People always think that we are a rich suburban district, so we shouldn't have any issues, as all we have to do is pass a levy, but that is not true. We are a property poor school district. We've considered the issues of equity, fairness, very, very important. The Anoka-Hennepin School District has the third largest count in compensatory students. For those are students on free and reduced lunch, for those of you who don't know. And yet we receive about 1/6 of what Minneapolis or St. Paul receives in compensatory funding. And so that is a big equity issue for this school district, and it always has been. The other equity issue is the operating levies. We have become so dependent on passing operating levies for basic needs for education, which has not always been the way that it has been in the state of Minnesota. But we get about $1,176 per pupil. The cap is $1,554 statewide. And so it causes us great pain to see other school districts who are more property wealthy be able to hit that cap and actually be over that cap and provide quite a bit more services to students. And one example would be high school counselors. In some of those more wealthy school districts, they have a student to high school counselor ratio of 1 to 200. Ours is 1 to 700. So if that doesn't demonstrate the case for equity, I look forward to having many, many more discussions on the whole issue of equity in the future in this committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Representative Dietrich. And Representative Fabian.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Dan Fabian. I represent District 1A. I've been a teacher and a coach for 34 years. On an administrative leave of absence right now from the school district in Roseau. My district encompasses all of Roseau County, all of Kitson County, half of Marshall County, and a portion of Pennington County, and a small piece of southern Manitoba. I'm just kidding. It just gives you a perspective of where we live up there, okay? The big district. What I'd like to bring to the committee is a perspective from someone who's had his feet on the floor in a classroom for 34 years. I've enjoyed my teaching. I miss it a lot. I'm already wishing that I could see my students anyway. I got a note this morning from one of the secretaries, and she said, make sure you eat lunch today. So I did. The things that I'm concerned about, obviously, are school funding and the inequities that exist in school funding. For example, in Roseau, when you take the total dollars that come into our district in student aid, it's about $8,400 per student, and you compare that to, say, Minneapolis, it's about $14,400. So there's a $6,000 difference. And we have an operating levy of $126 or $128 per student. And we attempted to pass one of those in the last election, and it failed. So we have some work to do in Roseau. We educate our students very, very well. We are above the state average in ACT scores. MCAs do quite well, and I'm looking to see if we can't make some changes. I'm all for reform. I'm not afraid of it, and I'm looking forward to working with Chairman Garofalo. He's been extremely supportive of me so far, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Representative Slocum.
Mr. Chair. I'm Linda Slocum. I represent District 63B, which is Eastern Richfield and East and Central Bloomington, the Mall of America, the airport, Fort Snelling. Those are mine. And they're wonderful places. Come visit often. I'm an eighth grade teacher. I teach American history. And every year before I go, I teach for half the year, and then I go on leave to come to the legislature. Last year over winter break, because I have to finish all my correcting, which is monumental, and then pass off to the person who's filling in for me, and then say goodbye to my eighth graders, and they're going to go to high school, so I'm not going to see them like next year. I always get really sick. Last year it was pneumonia from the stress of passing the torch and saying bye. This year it's just been a bad cold. So maybe this year's class just wasn't quite as good as last year. No, they're wonderful. For me, this is my third term, and the issues I'm most interested in are equity as it relates to poor kids. I believe in concentration of poverty. I believe in the compensatory differentiation and compensating for concentrations of poverty. I teach in Minneapolis, so I see and have seen over the course of the 25 years I've been there a lot, and it makes a difference if the services are there, and it makes a difference for poor kids. Legislation, I've worked hard with Representative Reinhart on the growth model on the report card. One of the things I'm most proud of is the charter school reform bill, which I carried and which passed and was signed into law. It was great. So for me, equity issues, I suppose teacher assessment, stuff like that, fairness. How do we do it in a fair way? If you do it my way, then it's a fair way.
Yes, that's why. I agree. My way.
I know.
Thanks. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm from Coon Rapids, Andover, House District 49B. I'm also an Anoka Hennepin representative, along with Representative Dietrich. Ditto on a lot of the equity issues that you talked about. I'm very interested in funding formula equity for Anoka Hennepin. As soon as someone can figure out exactly what the formula means, that would be helpful. and also value add models in terms of and in a transparent way so that parents and kids can access that information and hold hold accountability measures at those levels. So,
Representative Anzels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and congratulations.
Thanks.
I'm Tom Anzels. I represent the House District to the east of Representative Fabian along the Canadian border through Voyageurs National Park right up to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area and then south and southeast to the Iron Range. I represent 8 property-poor school districts. Transportation, poverty challenges, pretty critical. I've been a teacher, actually, in another era, in the quill and pen era. I actually taught at Hibbing High School from 1968 to 1980. It was a different era. Family structure, parenting skills, wages, communities, a sense of community, all put us in a different place than the challenges of managing public education today. Having said that, I must admit to you that I'll be looking for all sorts of creative ways, and I'm not afraid of hitting my head against the wall. I've been doing it most of my life, but I'll be looking for ways to transfer wealth from the affluent and those that have those taxpayers that enjoy all of the great things that this country has to offer, and sharing some of those, some of that wealth. I've actually read the Constitution of the state of Minnesota, and it talks about an equal educational experience for all of our young people. And I would say, from the beginning of my experience in 1968 to this day in 11, education is moving steadily toward a more unequal relationship between the public and families. So be prepared.
Representative Bills, top that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kurt Bills. I'm from Rose Mountain, Apple Valley. That's District 37B. I am a school teacher. I teach advanced placement courses in micro and macroeconomics and the survey course in economics as well as at Rosemount High School. I've actually retained my first hour advanced placement course and will teach that every morning before I come here because we couldn't find a substitute who could reconcile the neoclassical model and the Keynesian expenditure model. So but that's something that I might be able to help Mr. Anzlak with. So there's a couple of things that are first and foremost on my mind, and that would be not only teacher pay but portability within our model and allowing our teachers to move around our state and even within our country, and then also a discussion on eliminating social promotion, which is catastrophic to our economy and competitive labor markets that are worldwide now. I guess understanding, like Representative Peterson brought up, to actually try to understand the finance behind education in the state, and then how to allow districts and individual principals more sovereignty. So thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Dabney, I know you agree with me that the best decision I made in this committee was putting those two right next to each other. Don't you agree?
You foresaw the future, and I think we will all enjoy that, Mr. Chair, as the session plays out. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and again, congratulations. Jim Dabney, represent part of South Minneapolis here. This is my 6th term. I've had the privilege of serving on this committee my entire time in the legislature. Like Representative Loon, I have the luxury of representing one city and one school district, which does simplify things compared to many of my colleagues here around the table. My primary concern is adequacy of funding and making sure that we have equity and educational opportunity. Representative Anzels has read the Constitution more recently than I have, so thank you for the brief review. Actually, on NPR right now, is former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and Souter from New Hampshire. Remembering that correctly?
That's correct.
Talking about the importance of civics education and that not enough of us know our Constitution and our structures of government alike. So, thank you, Representative Anzels. So, adequacy of funding and equity of opportunity, educational opportunity, with a particular appreciation that where the greatest challenges are is also where the greatest opportunities are. And that if we can focus on that, we not only strengthen the opportunity for those individuals and families, but also improve our business climate. That there's some great opportunities in my district with children that we tend to see as liabilities and as cost centers to actually be real assets for our business community in a globalized system. We don't have to teach these kids foreign languages. They speak them at home. We don't have to teach them about other cultures. They come from them. And when General Mills wants someone to open an office in Latin America, if we do our job here at the legislature in 10 years, they'll have somebody who's more than prepared to do that. Share also the concern about levies. My district has had to go to levies to deal with inadequate funding from the state to meet the needs of our students, and then many of the other issues that other members have raised. So I look forward to the session.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Sandra Erickson, and I'm beginning my seventh non-consecutive term. I started teaching in 1963 and retired in 2000, so I'm a retired high school English teacher and very proud of it. I'm also a retired journalist and a newscast reporter. I am a chair of the Education Reform Committee, so I welcome all your reform ideas. I will be meeting with the new commissioner this afternoon and look forward to listening to her ideas, but please bring forth reform ideas. I have some of my own, and I know you have many, and I welcome those. In this committee, Mr. Chair, I think I would like to debate common sense ideas to provide equitable funding for all school districts, but live within our means. So I'm going to be supporting my friend over here, Representative Bills. I don't want to redistribute wealth. I want equitable funding. Thank you.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, and congratulations, too, Mr. Chair. I've always enjoyed working with you when we had the opposite seats over here, so sure that will continue.
And not to interrupt you, but Representative Greiling, I know that as the minority lead, you will be just like I was and agree with the chair on every single issue.
Now, Representative Garofalo, I do plan to be just like you would. My district is about 15 minutes north of the Capitol, and I represent Lauderdale, Roseville, which is where Northwestern College is actually, not St. Paul, it's in Roseville. And I don't get a lot of votes out of the college, but I did have a wonderful intern from that school last year, and he was excellent. I just recommended him for a job recently. And then I have St. Anthony Village. So I have three property wealthy school districts, Roseville Area Schools, St. Anthony New Brighton, and Moundsview. And so I like to always make sure that people on the education committee are educated to know that property wealth does not translate into the actual people being wealthy. There are some property poor districts where the people are wealthy. So when we're taking from the rich and giving to the poor or doing whatever, I like to make sure people know that taking from my school districts is not taking from the wealthy. It's the property wealth. But it's not people wealth. We have a middle-class district. As far as my priorities, I'm really glad to serve with Representative Garofalo, because when I was the chair, he was always trying to get rid of the 10% that we had in the 90-10 shift. He wanted it to be 100% paid in the proper year. And I am going to be just like him. I want that too. And so now it's pretty sad that we are at the worst shifting and paying late and property tax recognition shifts that we've ever been. $1.9 billion. We owe the schools $600 million. And then last year, for the first time in history and the year before, Governor Pawlenty borrowed short-term from the public schools. So we're in very bad shape for our schools. And so my thought is that the very last thing we can do is take from them any more. So I am so pleased that Governor Dayton and the Republicans in the House and the Senate have said they're going to prioritize education, protect the students, and keep the cuts away from education. So I think that on this committee, we can be the one committee that's not a partisan if we stick to that. And if we want to reform things like the compensatory formula that Representative Slocum doesn't want to touch anything on the hair of the concentration factor, and Representative Dietrich would like to make that more fair. Everybody that's been on this committee, which is almost nobody, would know that we do have the education finance reform proposal that we've had around for the last 4 years that that does reform that formula along with others and would pass the money out fairly to everybody's district in the state. And it even has in it technology funding that would take care of the districts that were in the report in the newspaper today that are the rural districts where they don't have access to internet. That's a big form of inequity, and anybody here, including those that represented South Manitoba, need that type of funding, because your students, if they don't all have access to the internet, don't have a fair education compared to most of the rest of ours in this district. And lastly, Mr. Chair, I want to answer the animal question.
Yes.
Okay. My favorite animal is a cat, and I have always had a cat for many years. And I like cats because they can't be trained. But if you treat them right, they will treat you right. They purr a lot. They'll snuggle up. And if you treat them horrid, we all know what cats do.
You know, Representative Greiling, you are going to be just like me, aren't you? And you know, one of the things I'm thankful for is that last session, you graciously brought the committee down to my district and allowed a hearing to take place there. And I hope that we can maintain that tradition. We were able to get the members of the committee to continue the dialogue on education later on at my house. And I would hope that's a tradition we can start, and we can have that opportunity in Roseville at some point this year, if you're interested in that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as we've discussed, I said you're on, provided we get the hearing, and I get to pick the topic, like you did.
That was fair trade. That's what it was last time. So thanks, Representative Greiling. Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe your second best decision was making sure I'm sitting here so we've got a buffer between you. No, thank you, and congratulations as well. My name is Tim Kelly. I represent District 28A, which is Red Wing down to Wabasha, the river, kind of the river valley there. And my wife Sue and I have 4 children, so all of you know that makes you acutely aware of education in itself. And I served 5 years on the school board down in Red Wing, and actually was kind of my thrust into this position, I guess, because the issues that all of you have done such a wonderful job in explaining was the main issue of why I decided to run. And just as an observation of listening to everyone here, I think we all have challenges that we address, but all of us also talk about how good a job our districts are doing from the standpoint of overall education. And I think that's a great statement just about our state of Minnesota and what we make sure we emphasize for education. So I want to make sure we don't lose sight of that, but of course my issue revolves around the whole formula and the complexity, and making sure that we do things in a logical manner so that we can address everyone's concerns. And I know that we've had this formula for so long that it's been rather convoluted and hijacked and all different things to try and address very specific problems. So I look forward to an overall general discussion on that. And also, just I think as Representative Downey alluded to, is maybe giving up some of our micromanagement and have faith in our local school districts, our local boards, local teaching staff, that they can do the job that they have a passion for. And I believe they do it very well, so I think to relieve some of the mandates that we put into place to make sure that they have some control over how they use finances and how they use their how they deliver their product. So I look forward to working with that. Thank you.
My name is Pat Garofalo. I'm starting my fourth term in the Minnesota House of Representatives. I represent Farmington, Southern Lakeville, and portions of rural Dakota and Goodhue County. And it is an honor to be the chair of this committee, and I look forward to getting some things done this session. First and foremost, I want to repeat something that actually I said about 7 months ago, and I believe I was actually sitting in that chair when I said it, and I think you were sitting here in this very room, and that is Representative Greiling was a very good chair of this committee. She was always fair to the minority and gave us a chance to have our hearings. So some of the things that will not be changing in this committee that will be the same, this committee will start on time. That's something Representative Greiling did, and I will do as well. All the committee chairs say it, but this committee will start on time. Second of all is we're going to have fun. We have some difficult subjects to deal with in a challenging fiscal environment, but we're going to have fun, and we're going to treat each other with respect. That's what Representative Greiling did. And in addition, minority party bills will be heard in this committee. When Representative Greiling was chair, she did that, and I will continue that tradition. So in the partisan meter, if you put a meter on partisanship, this is going to be one of the low committees. You're going to hear some, see those bills be heard here, and we will always be honest with each other. There will be some things that are you can expect to change if I have my way. One of those things is I think you're going to see more single subject bills coming out of this committee. In the past, for not necessarily because of the change in membership of the committee, but just because of the alignment of the House and Senate, I think you're going to see there still will be omnibus bills, but I think you can plan on seeing more subject matter being in single subject bills and passing out earlier in session rather than waiting. Second of all is that we're going to try to leverage technology. I'm a network engineer in my private sector job, and I'd like to see some things take place here. One of those is that I know it's very difficult for those from very remote areas to get in a car, drive all the way down here, testify, drive back, and then have to do the same thing when it comes time to testify before the Senate. We're going to try to line up those hearings so they can make one trip, make it easier for them. In addition, we're going to try to allow remote testifying via webcam. Using the technology in this room, I actually had the committee move to this room specifically to allow that. It's a lot. It's not that big of a deal from someone from Farmington to come down here and testify for a day. However, for the representative from Southern Manitoba, they need to drive down. They need to book a hotel room. It's a day away from the students, a day away from working. And we're going to try to do that and leverage technology to make this to allow more input in those ways. We'll work out the particulars of it later, and of course the trustworthy and able staff will work out all the kinks beforehand, and we'll be trying to do that out. In addition, is the opportunity to allow videotape testimony or input from nation leaders or regional leaders in the area of education. Sometimes the smartest people have already said it before, and rather than I or another person repeating it, we can put it up on the TV and watch that. And so those are going to be some differences that I'm going to try to incorporate into the committee to take place. I have a copy of the committee procedures that have been passed around. If you have any questions, please let me know. Again, the tradition is that we've had what I would call a soft 24-hour rule. There's a 24-hour rule, we'll continue that tradition, but we try to give deference and respect to both the minority as well as the authors of the bill to get things done. And Representative Greiling did a good job of consulting with me when she was the chair, and I will do the same thing with her. The motto of this committee is going to be kids first. No excuses, no exceptions. That's what matters. And we're going to be in a difficult fiscal environment this year. The good news is that the economy is dramatically turning around. The ADP private employment report came out today. It shows that 297,000 new private sector jobs were created in the country in December. That's by any objective analysis is good news, but we should be under no illusions that the deficit is going to be grown away by the end of February. The February forecast will improve, but it will have difficult choices for us to make and for all our membership too. But the finance decisions we make and the financial policy that we deal with in this committee will be guided by those principles, and the values behind them will be choice, accountability, and results. And that's what we're going to be working on this year. For myself, The important thing is, that first and foremost, and hopefully we'll be able to pull this off next week, is that there is an opportunity. We need to change things. The status quo is not defensible. However, the first thing we need to do is recognize that there are schools in Minnesota that are beating the odds. There's sort of a story out there that poor and minority kids can't be educated and that they just can't learn. And that's a bunch of hooey. It's totally untrue, and there are schools every day, public schools, in the Twin Cities area that are doing it. And one of the things I'd like to have this committee do is get an opportunity to go out, visit those schools, and see the opportunities and see what they're doing with free and reduced children who are in poverty and ethnic minorities who are getting higher achievement results and higher test scores than even some of our suburban wealthy school districts. So that's the first thing I want to do is we want to learn where there are successes. Then we'll have plenty of opportunity to talk about where we are deficient and where things can change. The reality is that in the past, the state of Minnesota had some luxury, that while there was a moral imperative for solving the achievement gap, it really did not financially hurt our state. It was white enough, it was wealthy enough, we could get away with it. Now, those days have passed, and the reality is that if we do not solve the achievement gap, there will be less wages, fewer jobs, and a lower quality of life in the future. The state of Minnesota cannot, you can have whatever tax structure you want, you can have whatever regulatory climate you want, but if you do not have an educated and productive workforce, no one's going to expand here, no business is going to relocate here, we're not going to be able to get anything done. So it's crucial for the future of job creation that we correct and improve the achievement gap in Minnesota, and that we are seeing that that alignment of test scores between rich and poor, the disalignment between rich and poor, as well as between whites and ethnic minorities, that we correct that. And we use proven, data-driven solutions to get those things together. And we've seen other states, other regions, where they have successful, proven strategies to implement these things. And that's what we're going to focus on doing, and that's what we're going to do for this committee. So that's sort of my manifesto. That's my speech of the day. With that, are there any questions from the committee members or any comments? Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, on the procedures, number four, minor oral amendments may be accepted during hearings at the direction of the chair. The chair is going to direct the oral amendments, or
at the discretion of the chair. Thank you. I'm surprised that Representative Erickson didn't catch that. Usually, she's the grammar police. But good job, Representative Dabney.
Thank you. I'll chalk up 1 point for my team today.
Thank you. The staff will note that correction. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions, Representative Dietrich.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was remiss and I did not congratulate you on your chairmanship, and I want to do so publicly, and not just because you are in my class, and I'm very proud to have somebody in my class now taking a leadership role in the legislature, but because we're also good friends. So I look forward to working with you. But I forgot, I just have two things, may I? Since I'm in your class?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. you would talk about several things that Representative Greiling was very good at, and may I just make one suggestion, and I don't want to be too presumptuous, and that is that she really did help testifiers and committee members frame their questions and discussion around education finance. And last year, being a person on policy and finance, it really was very nice to have just to keep reminding people we are a finance committee. And when we go out to different schools that are working, I think that's great, but I would really appreciate it if you would do work with them prior to getting there on their so that they can answer questions about their finances. A lot of times we go tour schools and you ask the teacher about, how much does that cost, or what did your, and they are not the people who are prepared to answer those types of questions. But if I'm going to be out there looking at more schools, I want to be able to have the finance picture also represented along with the program. And then second of all is you have mentioned Kids First. Some people have mentioned the Constitution, and people have talked about the complexity of education formulas. Well, I just wanted to mention the fact that we have school trust lands in this state and that there are 2.5 million acres of forestry lands that are assets that the kids in this state own, and we get proceeds from those school trust lands. And And that is one part of our funding picture that does not get much attention. And 3 years ago, the chair and I took a tour up north, and we have made it our mission to try to educate education finance people and the rest of the state about the school trust lands issue so that all people in the state are well aware of school trust lands, except for those who live up on the Iron Range are very well aware of them. Thank you.
And Representative Dietrich, you give yourself some credit because you're the one that eliminated the general fund offset for the distribution from the trust fund. In the past, that money went to schools, but then there was a subtraction from the general fund, and last biennium, I believe, was the
2010, first year.
It was the first year that took place, so good job. Representative Anzels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Dietrich, for bringing up that topic. And I hope that all of us can be aware daily of the fact that the good people of northern Minnesota, the forested region and the iron mining region, and hopefully the non-ferrous mining region, are contributing financially to the education of every one of your children in every one of your school districts. And we do that with joy in our hearts to share the wealth of the Section 16 and 36 in each township with you all. So,
excellent. Any other? Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if you could spend just a minute and explain from your perspective how the Education Reform Committee and the Finance Committee will work together. I think Representative Dietrich raises a good point. We oftentimes in K-12 policy struggled with separating out strictly the policy implications of a bill and kind of voting on that without being able to really consider the finance implications, even though we're literally voting on the terminology in the bill that has finance implications. So just a quick overview of how you see the committees working together.
Sure. And then after my comments, I'd like Representative Erickson to kind of, we've discussed this privately, but maybe to have some thoughts on it as well. But we're in the area of education finance and education policy, it's difficult to find a subject area that's less linked. There are things as financial. It's difficult to enact policy without some sort of financial connotation. I would expect the overwhelming majority of bills that are in the policy, the Education Reform Committee, will also be in the Education Finance Committee. Ultimately, the jurisdiction of this committee is related to finance and finance policy, but it is the will of the committee, and the chair's intent is not to prescribe to members if they are in favor or opposed to a legislation based on its policy connotations that they would only be allowed to vote on the finance considerations. So, I mean, I would expect, again, 95% or more of the bills that come out of the Education Reform Committee will come here as well. But Representative Erickson, did you want to offer some thoughts?
Well, Representative Downey and Mr. Chair, I'm going to try to have a focus in our committee so that we focus directly on the reform issues and then we pass those which have financial implications to K-12 finance, but to make our committee as focused as possible on the reform that is on the policy side, even though it'll have finance implications. So I have some specific questions I want to implant in people's minds that they should ask when we are hearing bills and hearing from testifiers. So I hope that will help you. We're meeting tomorrow morning at 8:15. So if you're on the policy committee, I'll see you then.
Any follow-up, Representative Downey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just as a show of hands, how many members of this committee are on the Education Reform Committee? And then, okay. All right, any other questions or comments from the committee? All right, so please keep an eye on your email. We will not be meeting tomorrow, but we will be meeting next Tuesday. And with that, this committee is adjourned. Thank you.